Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a real honor and pleasure to be here today. I'd like to first start off by acknowledging my co-authors. Dr. Ross McKenzie is a soil scientist with Alberta Agriculture and has done extensive work in the area of enhanced efficiency fertilizers. Rita Benko is the lead agronomist out of Canada for Agrium, and Dr. Dean Spanner is my PhD supervisor out of the University of Alberta. So briefly to cover discussion points today, just a bit of background on controlled release urea research in Canada, and then leading into the two topics that comprise this study, development of crop response thresholds for physically altered polymer coated urea, and the influence of retailer and on-farm handling on that polymer coated urea. So in Canada, there's been extensive research conducted on basically developing the threshold and stand thinning that's observed with seed placing uncoated urea. And typically what the research has found from McKenzie et al. Or Cindy Grant or John O'Donovan is basically once you approach 30 to 40 kilograms of N per hectare when you're seed placing uncoated urea, you start to observe stand thinning. And there was also a nice paper published by Molly et al. Where they observed similar findings in canola and durum, but also noted that they could place significantly higher rates of urea if it was used in conjunction with a polymer-coated or urease inhibitor. And from that study, they also determined that there was a slight advantage using polymer-coated urea over a urease inhibitor. And so a lot of the research being conducted right now, and what's the focus of this paper, is on the polymer-coated urea. So the next step in the development of the utilization of polymer-coated urea is establishing those safe rates. And Agrium, as part of their quality assurance program, states that you can safely place 50% more polymer-coated urea versus uncoated urea as a general rule of thumb. But what we know up in Canada is that's routinely exceeded by producers, and which leads to a real practical question. If you've ever handled or used polymer-coated urea, sooner or later a question will come to your mind is, will physical alterations of that fairly delicate coating lead to stand thinning or contribute to a less than ideal situation using polymer-coated urea in the field? So the first step in this study was to develop crop response thresholds for physically altered polymer-coated urea, and we did that in conjunction with Agrium. And basically part of their quality assurance program is they will take lots of what they call their environmentally smart nitrogen, or ESN, and they will weigh those granules and then immerse them in 23 degrees C water for a period of time, remove them, weigh them again, and determine the amount of N that's being released. And so what follows then is a bit of a gap, because there is to date no relationship between those findings and any in-field findings. So our first step was we wanted to relate the thresholds that they find, or the rates of N release that they've observed when they physically alter polymer-coated urea, to see what that relates to in the field. So what we did is we took 9 different samples of polymer-coated urea that Agrium had physically altered in varying degrees, anywhere from unaltered all the way up to 80% release was observed, which is essentially uncoated urea in my mind. And we took those seed lots and we seed placed it at 3 times the safe rate. And so for canola, that would be 45 kilograms of N per hectare, and for cereals, we were saying that the 3 times safe rate would be 90 kilograms of N per hectare. And so we took those samples and we seed placed them with canola or winter wheat or triticale, 150 seeds per meter squared for canola and 300 seeds per meter squared for the cereals, using just a basic self-propelled cone seeder. And as you can see, a similar trend was observed regardless of crop type, although canola was slightly more sensitive. As we reached abrasion levels of about 40% N released, that related in the field to stand thinning that became significantly different from what I established as my control, the 20% release level. 20% release, we would expect to be a fairly normal expectation of normal handling of ESN through the whole chain of handling from retailer to the farm. The cereals weren't quite as sensitive, but became significantly different from the 20 degree release for winter wheat at 60, and the winter triticale was a little more tolerant, not becoming significantly different in terms of plant populations from the 20% control until we reached a level of 70 or 80%. I also did some crop canopy measurements and determined leaf area index, and also used NDVI values, which were explained earlier. But in this case, NDVI, you could also use a green seeker to determine the level of crop canopy patchiness, if you will. And so it's also a fairly reasonable or good tool for monitoring stand thinning. And basically, if we set this bar at zero, that being the 20% release ESN lot, we can see that our crop canopy begins to change quite significantly as we increase that rate of release. So we definitely have some major differences going on at the vegetative stage when we do physically alter ESN. And this is an infield situation. This is looking very good. This is unabraded ESN that was seed placed with winter wheat. And again, 30%, I think if you're a producer and you had that type of result using and seed placing ESN at three times the safe rate of urea, uncoated urea, I think you'd be pretty happy. But I don't think you'd be very happy if this was the result and for some reason you got as high as 60% release with the handling of your polymer coated urea. So there's definitely a quality assurance aspect to this, as well as a biological interest. So the second part of the study was to determine, now that we know that there are differences between those varying degrees of release in a more controlled laboratory setting, do we really experience 60% release on the farm through normal handling from retailer to the farm? And so in this particular study, I created a three-factor experiment. The first factor had two levels, and that was two methods of handling at the retailer. Basically, we just went to the local retailer that was handling polymer coated urea and had them load us up through what they called their blender. And they loaded our mini tote with a blender that was either uncleaned, so it basically sat the whole summer after the busy spring season, or they ran 10 tons of potash through that before loading the ESN for us. So we had two unique lots there that we then took to our research farm, and we either ran that through a drill fill auger, which is the normal practice on a farm, or we bypassed the drill fill and just loaded it directly from a mini tote into our different implements. And for the third factor, we have eight implements and a control. And the implements we were using were a FlexiCoil air seeder and a ConservaPak air drill. And they're two fairly distinct type of delivery systems. The Easy Flow header manifold is quite different and has higher degrees of angle deflection than something like a ConservaPak air drill. And then I was also interested to see what sort of effect would occur in a top dress situation. So I also incorporated a Velmar air boom as well as a Barber drop spreader. And again, we were comparing that all back to this control of no implement used at all. And so at the end, we had a 2x2x9 factorial randomized complete block design. So that gave us 36 unique lots, if you will, of ESN that we then took into the field and seed placed at three times the safe rate, again using the seeding rate described earlier, running it through a self-propelled cone seeder. We also took a portion of those samples and sent them back to Agrium for them to do their water release work as well. And here's just some photos of the handling equipment at the retailer, and as you can see, that can get pretty scaled up. And then basic drill fill augers that we used at the research farm. And this is my plot seeder. It's the center wing out of a ConservaPak air seeder or air drill, which, by the way, if you weren't familiar with, is now owned by John Deere. So you might see more of these units around in the US. And then this is a plot seeder, but was using the FlexiCoil delivery system. This octopus looking device up top is that easy flow manifold. And then again, a simple field scale air boom as well, and a barber drop spreader. So some data coming back from that, all the data was analyzed with the mixed procedure of SAS, where replicate nested within location and location were treated as random effects, and an LSD was used to separate the means at a level of 0.05. So if we look at the first main effect of retailer handling, we definitely have a significant difference. First run ESN is that material that was run through a blender that was not clean. And as you can see, we had significantly fewer plants per meter squared in both winter wheat and canola versus running it through a clean blender at the retailer. On the farm, the first level of handling, utilizing the drill fill, it wasn't nothing really all that interesting happening here. In fact, the data was non-significant with winter wheat. A little bit of a difference with canola, but nothing too major there. And then as expected, we did have an issue with differing levels of plant populations based on how we ran it through an implement, compared to, say, this yellow bar of no handling through an implement. Anything that would drop below 90 plants per meter squared, in my mind, would be an issue for canola. And we did have one with the FlexiCoil manifold for both winter wheat and canola. I wouldn't be as concerned about 209. I think if you're above 200, you're still doing okay as far as the plant population. We also had a significant three-way interaction with winter wheat and a plant population, so I thought I would just share those data with you as we get closer to the end of the talk here. And so if you have a look at this first column, this is the end release data calculated from Agrium. And going back and seeing what 60% looked like in the field with that photo that I shared with you, you can see that this is a bit of an issue. And these combinations here are with dirty ESN, run through a drill fill, and then run through an implement. So the yellow that I've highlighted here are all sort of issues with perhaps becoming a bit of a problem with stand thinning based on these combinations. However, there is no issue with those same implements if you went with ESN number 2 or ensured that your retailer did a good job in cleaning that material or cleaning that blender prior to loading your implement. And then on the last part of this slide, I just highlighted in green the amount of physical alteration that happens with a plot seeder. And as you can see, almost no alteration occurs. So I think there needs to be a little bit of prudence when we make our crop threshold our seed safety rate recommendations for seed placed ESN, because if we're using just plot style seeders and not real equipment, that might be an issue, or we might not really be representing the degree of risk involved. So to wrap up, issues with handling ESN was largely prevented through quality assurance at the retailer by running that 10 tons of potash through prior to loading ESN. Quality assurance on the farm would also be prudent, but not nearly as much of an issue with retailer handling. And again, if all equipment is descaled prior to handling, it basically eliminates the issue. And again, the safe rate we were using here was 3 times the safe rate. Other studies show that you could go up as high as 120 kilograms of N per hectare seed place with ESN. But again, it goes back to my concern about the type of equipment used to make those conclusions. And with that, I thank you for your attention.
We have time for one question.
You were running this ESN through primarily grain drills, correct?
Small grain drills, right.
What would the effect be if you ran it through a spreader truck or something other than placing it in the seed?
Well, the two implements that would...
I guess what I'm saying, do you think the seed is causing any abrasion?
Oh, the seed itself. If the seed was causing any abrasion, I don't think we picked up that difference with the amount of differences that we observed with this study. And we did have quite a range of physical alteration occurring there. So I don't... running it in conjunction with, say, a canola or a cereal seed didn't seem to have an effect. But that's a really good question.
All right, join me in thanking our speaker for his presentation.